You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, like the dude just said, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, folks, let me tell you about my friends, by the way, at ZLA Solutions. ZLA Solutions is one of the best in the state for getting people back to work. I mean, I know these folks personally. They are good at what they do. ZLA Solutions, if you're looking for a job, go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. Just check it out. They've got jobs posted all over Alabama. Great pay, a lot of them with benefits. But if you're an employer looking to fill out the ranks of your own workforce, just know you can do the same thing. Go to ZLAUSA.com. Start that relationship with ZLA Solutions. They'll do the recruiting. They'll do the background checks, the drug testing if necessary. They will fill your workforce out. At ZLA Solutions, they like to say, at ZLA, we don't make it. We just make it better. ZLA Solutions. Please check them out. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. That's ZLAUSA.com. So back on this piece right now I'm doing on COVID madness continues. Here's a story I pulled off of Fox Business dated today. Boggles my mind. Because obviously we're supposed to be following the science. Science! After implementing a coronavirus mandate for healthcare workers this fall, Rhode Island has now opened an option for COVID-positive healthcare workers to continue working if their facility is facing a staffing crisis. Because I would imagine you are less, you know, you're less capable of transmitting the virus if you're short on staff. That's what I take from this. I mean, think about it. They implemented a statewide COVID healthcare restriction in Rhode Island in the fall, and now they're paying for it. And now they got problems. It says facility administrators should be using their clinical judgment in making staffing decisions. Okay, said a spokesperson from the Department of Health in Rhode Island. For example, a facility may opt for a COVID-19 positive worker to only care for COVID-19 positive patients. Well, I guess you could do that. But it doesn't say that is their mandate. It says basically if they are positive and are asymptomatic, they can go back to work. In crisis situations, it says. Okay, because obviously, once again, you are less contagious if they're short on staff. It says workers at other hospitals and skilled nursing homes in the state who are mildly symptomatic can also continue working if the facilities are facing a staffing crisis. One Eleanor Slater hospital staffer told the Providence Journal after reading Friday's memo, she said, oh, crap, we obviously don't have enough people. You see what I'm saying? I mean, folks, it's a moving target. It also depends where you are. In Florida right now, Governor Ron DeSantis has, you know, a very open state. Alabama's very open, too. We just happen to, you know, see Governor DeSantis taking a far greater strong stance against the federal government. But in the meantime, you've got universities, like I told you before the break, shutting down. And then at the same time, while you've got the University of, was that Miami? Yes. Was it Miami of Ohio? No, it's Miami of Florida. Miami of Florida. Shutting down, going to remote classes for the first part of the semester. At the same time, right there in Florida, you have, is it St. Thomas? Yes, St. Thomas University said they will absolutely be open for in-person classes on January 10th to welcome students back. Said that we're committed to having an in-person education, having people fully engaged, making sure we're keeping our most vulnerable safe and following protocols. And listen to this. This is what really got me. All that being said, if something takes a horrible turn, we can go virtual, but why do it now when we know that we can do all of our other protocols and still have in-person education and give the students their money's worth? Wow. Wow. Right there in the same state. All right, so COVID madness continues as number two in the triple dipper. Did you see the story on Washington Examiner? Which story, Phil? Well, let me tell you. Dr. Scott Gottlieb, a former Food and Drug Administration commissioner and a Pfizer board member, has come out and said, this is an airborne illness and cloth masks don't provide much protection. Science! This is a guy who was a former Food and Drug Administration, FDA commissioner, and a Pfizer, that's the drug company, right? A Pfizer board member stress how scientists now understand just how much the coronavirus spreads through airborne transmission and says that cloth face coverings are not very effective against stopping it. I think most of us knew that. Especially when you consider, like, you know, like, how many of you wear glasses and you put on your mask and your glasses fog up? Because, obviously, breath is getting out of the mask, right? Yes. You could smell someone's bad breath through the mask. What does that tell you? I'm just saying. Well, Dr. Anthony Fauci, he still says cotton and surgical masks are effective. Well, he is Dr. Fauci. You know, just want to make sure I point that out, that he is, in fact, Dr. Fauci. I think I'm going to wind this one down by pointing out a couple things. COVID madness continues. You know, New York City, I love New York City. It was just a few years ago, it was a bucket list item. I've told y'all before, Charlene and I, it was a bucket list item for us to be able to go to New York City. We had talked about it for years. She had made a trip with all the sister-in-laws in the family 1 year, and I couldn't wait to go. Right now, I wouldn't want to go, because right now, you can't even go out to eat in New York City without having to show a vaccine passport, with having police come and haul people, literally, I've seen the videos, don't tell me they're not, hauling people away for daring to try to go to a restaurant and not having a vaccine passport. Never mind the fact that the vaccine does not stop you from getting the illness. All it does is mitigate your symptoms. So what in God's name's difference does it make whether you have the vaccine or not when you go to the restaurant if it does not mean that you're not contagious? You can still get COVID and be contagious even after you've been vaccinated and boosted. Listen, I have a family friend right now whose daughter is a nurse. And I'm not anti-vax. I say it again. I'll say it always. I'm not anti-vaccination. But I have a family friend right now whose daughter-in-law is a nurse who has been vaccinated, who has had COVID before, so she has natural antibodies. She's been boosted, if I recall correctly. She has now been diagnosed for the third time with COVID. Three times. Now, granted, she's in a high compression environment, so she's facing it. She's in the hospital working daily. But folks, how much sense does it make for New York City, that place that, you know, yes, New York, I wouldn't want to live there, but I love that place. We went up there and ate at Tavern on the Green in Central Park. We saw Broadway shows. You know, we just walked around and saw the sights. It's really an incredible spot. It's a crossroads of the world. Well, they got a new mayor because Mayor de Blasio has just trashed that place. Well, there's a lot of hope that even though he's a Democrat, that the new mayor, Eric Adams, would usher in what they're calling an era free from what Bill de Blasio had done. Some are already calling him de Blasio 2.0 because the first thing he did was extend executive orders on state of emergency regulations and keeping in place mandatory vaccinations for private sector employees. Private sector employees. The mayor of New York City. Yeah, I'm just telling you, folks. Scary stuff. COVID madness everywhere we look. Even though right now, a story on the Daily Caller. Daily Caller reporting that even amid the Omicron wave, even some Democrats are beginning to change their tune about doing mandates and lockdowns. It's wearing thin, people. President Biden wants to say that his patience is wearing thin with those who haven't gotten vaccinated. I got news. The world is getting, patience is getting thin with the mandates and the government overreach. The COVID madness. There is no set manner in which the so-called science can be followed. Everybody has their own interpretation. Do you mask the two-year-olds? Do you not? Do you close the schools and go remote? Do you not? Is one school down the street doing it differently than the other school district is? Yes. Even here in Alabama, you've got two school districts that decided not to go in-person learning until January 10th, which is only a week or so. What good did you really do yourselves, folks? And yet every other school district is going live. Some are putting masks in place. About three or four districts, I believe, are putting masks in place to include Madison City, right here in our listening area. However, all that to say, it's COVID madness because you can't ever find any congruency. You can't find anybody to say this is the way it's done. All right, Copper, take us out to a break. We come back on going to number 3 on the Triple Dipper. This one's going to crack you up. I'm just calling this one What They Said. Some of it's maddening. Some of it's hilarious. Some of it's just downright stupid. But we're solid conservative and just plain right. So we'll talk about it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Be right back after this. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, if you hear us advertising here, you know, we got our team members, we call them, team members here that advertise and sponsor Right Side Radio. Just know this, you might need to know that part of the inventory for those ads is sold directly through Right Side Radio. You're going to have to contact us if you want to be on the show for sure. And so I would encourage you to do that. Just go to our website, rightsideradio.org, click on the contact tab, and you can get hold of either Ed or Bobby. They'll square you away on how to do that. You can email directly to us, or I think Bobby's phone number is on there. Just know that we can square you away on the opportunity to advertise as one of our team members on Right Side Radio. We got a new one coming up, starting up here in the next few days. Pretty excited about it. Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning will be one of our newest team members coming on as a sponsor of Right Side Radio, and we're glad to have them. Really are. In that vein, I will tell you this, though, too. You may want to know etaxbreaks.com is going to be changing their name very soon. Right now, they are still etaxbreaks.com, but they're going through some corporate changeovers, and they're going to have a new name, but still the same good work. They're a company, literally, that has the sole mission in life for this company is find y'all some money. I mean, can you imagine going to work every day, and that's your mission in life is just to pick up the phone, call your clients, and say, found you some more money? Because that's what they do. At etaxbreaks.com, they literally look through your business, decide how you run your business, where you put your business, who you hire for your business, how long you've been open, did you keep it open during the pandemic, all of this kind of stuff, and a whole lot more. They look at it, and they compare it to like over 3,000 programs around the nation that qualify you for things like tax credits, tax incentives, tax rebates or tax refunds, and grants even, and they just call you up and go, hey, we found some money you didn't know you qualified for. That's right. And then you get a check in the mail. And they only get paid if they find you money. So check them out, etaxbreaks.com/rightside. And once they change the name, I'll tell you. But etaxbreaks.com/rightside is who you want to go see for right now. All right, so that being said, we're moving to the third part of the Triple Dipper for the day. By the way, if you want to call in, phone lines can be open, 866-494-9866. Had a couple of calls already. Love to hear your thoughts on what we've been talking about today. We've had the social media hijinks. We had COVID madness still continuing. 866-494-9866 from now through the end of the show. I'm going to number 3 on the Triple Dipper right now. I'm calling it What They Said. What They Said. What's going on right now? Well, what they said is, and there's a whole lot of what they said that's been happening over the last few days. I mean, I started reading through it. And I thought, golly bum. I mean, it's amazing to me. Some of the things that happened, a few of the things I'll show you in what they said are things conservatives said, but what they said is mostly what liberals have said. I'm going to start with this. Copper, have you got clip 2 by any chance? Is it ready? Tell you what, go ahead and get clip 2 ready. And when you're there, let me know. Clip 2, yeah, I know it's got to run ads. You got to get through those, weed through those ads. So here's the deal. If we don't get it for the break, I will play it when we get back. But here's the thing. One of the first things that got my attention, things that liberals, oh, you ready? So here's the deal. Any of y'all that are military history buffs, you probably understand who the 29th Infantry Division is. If you're not, let me just tell you this, a storied history. This is the 29th Infantry Division, still exists now in the Virginia National Guard and Pennsylvania, I believe. No? Yeah, Virginia and West Virginia. Anyway, the 29th Infantry Division is a legacy unit. It's right up there with the 82nd Airborne in terms of its, you know, history. In World War II, the 29th Infantry Division is one of those that went ashore at Normandy and marched across Europe. Their patch is a circle with the yin-yang symbol in it, which you may think, that's a funny thing. And the yin-yang is blue and gray. The patch symbolizes the fact that after the Civil War, soldiers in that part of the country, both Union and Confederate, merged together to be one fighting force. The blue and the gray came together. The yin yang patch, yin yang is supposed to, you know, apparently it's Eastern. It's an Asian symbol. I think it means something to do with tranquility or harmony. And all that to say, the blue and the gray came together. Well, right up there with taking down statues and trying to rename military bases like Fort Benning, Georgia and Fort Rucker, Alabama, liberals are trying now to do away with the yin-yang patch, with the 29th Infantry Division's legacy patch, the same patch that went ashore at Normandy. If you were watching Saving Private Ryan, the guy who was the young interpreter in the movie, one of the main characters, he was wearing the 29th Infantry Division patch. Blue and gray, symbol of the yin-yang patch. It's a legacy patch. Men stormed the beaches at Normandy and marched across Europe wearing that patch. No one in the 29th Infantry Division is worried about what that patch, the fact that it has gray in it. But because the gray is tied to the Confederacy, there are a handful of screamers out there, the same kind of people that put up TikTok videos like I was saying earlier, that believe that you have to take that patch down to change it. Like, that's going to save the world. Hey, let's go ahead and make sure that we don't have anything out there that ever has any ties to the Confederacy, never mind the fact that that patch alone is a monument to the reunification of our country after the Civil War. The blue and the gray came together. When we come back, I'll play you a clip from Fox News where they talk about that very thing, and then I'll get into a whole bunch more about what they said. Liberals say the craziest stuff. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Going into the last half hour of the day, if you want to call in, 866-494-9866. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, 4:36 PM right now. A whole bunch of you guys are in go-home mode right now. Be careful on those roads, by the way. We had some serious weather around the listening area last night. I'm talking like a half a foot of snow in some places. I know Madison was covered up. Out towards Athens, it was covered up. Certain portions of Huntsville got lots of snow on the road, which means it can also turn to ice as the temperatures chill down again after dark. So just y'all be careful, all right? Take the extra 2 minutes getting home and be careful on the way. By the way, if you're heading home and you're wondering what's for dinner, let me suggest something to you. If you haven't already gone there for breakfast, or even if you have gone there for breakfast and you want to go back again for dinner, Right Side is proud to have one of its sponsors is Just Love Coffee Cafe. Just Love Coffee Cafe. Now you think, okay, it's Just Love Coffee. Yes, it's also a cafe. It's a place where you can go and eat and get a great cup of coffee. So they got all the best roasts. I mean, they got different roasted beans that you can have them ground, or they can make a cup for you there. If you're like me and you like just a good cup of black coffee that has some aroma to it, yes, they've got all of that, award-winning coffees. However, they can also do the cappuccinos, the macchiatos, the lattes, the espressos, all of it. But they've got a food menu, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They've got omelets. They've got waffles. They've got sandwiches and wraps and salads. And folks, I'm just telling you, man, some of the stuff on there, good, good stuff. You may want to check it out. And you can, by the way, if you're like me and you like to eat breakfast for dinner, yep, you can do that there. Get you a womlet. That's right, an omelet cooked in a waffle iron that's got everything in the world in it to include tater tots. I mean, if that's not comfort food, I don't know what is. All right, check them out. Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations, one on Hughes Road in Madison, the other on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. I love both locations. Hughes Road in Madison, South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. Things that liberals say. Well, number one, wouldn't it be important to save the world by changing the patch that a unit wears on their uniform? Yes, especially when that unit is one that stormed the beaches at Normandy, the 29th Infantry Division. Especially when no one in the unit cares that in some way the patch being blue and gray is affiliated with the Confederacy. Never mind the fact that the patch exemplifies the fact that blue and gray came together post-Civil War. Copper, you got clip two? You good to go on that? Let's just do a quick excerpt from Fox News discussing the patch on this part of the triple dipper that I call What They Said. Play clip two.
Among the troops who stormed the beaches of Normandy on D-Day were soldiers with the 29th Infantry Division. Now, the woke movement is coming for their infantry patch, that one you see right there on their screen, the blue and the gray, now under review for potential retirement over Confederacy ties. Here to react, 101st Airborne veteran and U.S. Senate candidate Jake Beckett. Jake, thanks for being here. So the lineage of this unit is significant. It's now most of the Virginia National Guard. They acknowledge it was a coming together of Union and Rebel. It's in their symbol, yet we may cancel it?
Absolutely. The patch itself represents the unity of these former Confederate and Union soldiers who came together to serve a common purpose. And look, this patch was proudly worn by soldiers who stormed the beaches of Normandy, and now they want to cancel it? Look, you can fit the entire number of people who are offended by this patch into the same elevator. I'm so sick and tired of this cancel culture. We got to stop it in its tracks. Give them nothing.
That's exactly right, Jake. There aren't actually people clamoring for this. There aren't actually guys in the 29th Infantry saying, I'm offended by my patch. They're not out there. There's just a few people who have an agenda, and yet we cave. Why is our Pentagon?
And that's where I'm going to stop it right there. I'm going to stop it right there, Copper. That's exactly where I'm going to stop it, because they're going to say some of the same things again. But the bottom line is, it's a few folks with a woke agenda that want to change things, even when they involve great history. They don't like it. It scares them. Somehow or another, it's, well, let me tell you about some other things, because what I've got here in this segment that I'm calling What They Said, I mean, this is a, I've got a stack of stuff here we probably won't get through. I mean, I've got a, it's a plethora. It's a vast cornucopia. It's a veritable buffet, if you will, of craziness that things they said. Here's an article of New York Post, total change of subject, but it's still in the What They Said mode. Did you know that in New York City, they are determining your treatment for COVID based upon race? You heard me. New York Post reports as of January 1st that New York is prioritizing COVID tests and treatments such as monoclonal antibodies by ethnicity. In other words, they're prioritizing minority ethnicities over whites. And there's absolutely zero grounds for it, except that what they're trying to do is create class warfare. Mayor de Blasio had an obsession, it says in the article in New York Post, with race that already hurt schools and the police department, so why not go the extra mile and sacrifice some lives? Hey, why not? There's no race involved in COVID treatment. Nobody responds differently because of their race. What they're looking at here is they're using ethnicity in order to accommodate the woke agenda. And that's sick. Here's another story. How about this? New York City. What they said. Well, isn't this interesting? An organization called Fund for Public Health in New York is about to install vending machines that dispense clean needles and Naxalone for drug users who are burdened by overdoses. Burdened by overdoses. Yes, you heard me. Story dated yesterday from the Postmillennial. I pulled this down off the internet. Postmillennial, January 2nd. A pilot program in New York City will install 10 public health vending machines at selected locations throughout the city for drug users who are, quote, disproportionately burdened by overdoses. Whatever. When I was a state senator, by the way, there was another Republican. I won't name his name right now, but there was another Republican who was sponsoring a needle exchange bill. And I was the one who killed it in the Senate. We're not going to get in the habit in the state of Alabama, as long as I have something to say about it, of accommodating addiction and making it easier to handle your addiction as opposed to getting over it. You want to talk to me about a treatment program? I'd love to hear it. Don't talk to me about a needle exchange. I know what some of you are going to say, oh, we're preventing the disease and all that comes with the unwashed needles. I'm not the one who put the needle in their arm, but I am not going to give them another needle. Well, apparently the Fund for Public Health in New York, a nonprofit organization, is installing these. They call them harm reduction and wellness supplies. They include things like sterile needles, overdose kits, which I can see that at least. And they go on to say in their statement, and I don't know why it had to go back to race again, but it did. They're prioritizing Black and Latino neighborhoods. Okay. Quote from the Fund for Public Health, racial equity does not mean simply treating everyone equally, but rather allocating resources and services in such a way that explicitly addresses barriers imposed by structural racism and white privilege so that all people have access to what they need to enjoy full and healthy lives. By the way, they defined white privilege in their statement as historical and contemporary advantages in access to resources and opportunities afforded to white people. Things that they said. Well, let me go down a different road, which is a little more humorous. DailyWire.com, January 1st, this week, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Well, she went on vacation, you understand, because it's important to take a break. And I get it. Maybe she's busy. Everybody needs a little time off. Put your feet up. There you go. Except that she has been criticizing Governor Ron DeSantis and the state of Florida as having all of these ridiculous policies, she believes, of allowing people to walk around without masks and no COVID mandates and yada yada and fighting back against these things that President Biden's trying to do. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically her stance. Well, guess where she went to vacation? I said it earlier in the show if you were listening. That's right, Miami Beach. National Review, as reported on Daily Wire, reports that according to photographs, she was found sitting outside in a bar, raising cocktails and checking her phone and not wearing a mask. And then she went to there's a video right now on FoxNews.com. I saw it during the break. She's at a gay bar, hugging and kissing everybody and having the best time and just loving them for loving her. And thank you so much. It means so much to me. However, when she was criticized on social media, here's the juvenile response she gave. I'm not lying. She said this. Brace yourself. She says, if Republicans are mad, they can't date me. They can just say that instead of projecting their sexual frustrations onto my boyfriend's feet, you creepy weirdos. That's her response. That's a member of Congress whose response to people calling her out for being down on the beach and violating all the COVID protocols that are in place in her home district. Her response is to say, they must want to date me. Good Lord. I bet she was one of the mean girls in school. What do you think? I got a caller. Let me go ahead and take that before I go on to more things that people said, because you're going to want to hear what they said about Governor Ron DeSantis and what the truth really was. But before I go to the break, let me do this. Let me grab line one. Jeff in Indiana. My brother Jeff in Indiana. How you doing, man? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Phil.
Yeah, man. What's on your mind today?
Don't you think it's kind of ironic that actually Democrats are wanting to tear down Confederate things, because the Democratic Party, or the people who were Democrats, are the ones who erected these statues and all these things? Because do you think the Republicans ever built a statue to General Lee or anything?
I mean, they forget the fact that Republican Party, that Abraham Lincoln, are the ones that emancipated the slaves. And then they forget the fact
exactly.
that the Jim Crow laws were enacted largely by Democrat-run state legislatures. It boggles the mind, Jeff. I mean, yeah, they've forgotten their history. Either that or they never knew their history, one or the other.
And that's the problem, because, you know, people now think the Republicans are racist and stuff and everything. And I think we should start tearing down all the Democratic statues, anything that has Robert Byrd's bust on it or anything, or his name, should all be taken out. Seriously, if you want to be woke, they need to be woke all the way.
Oh, it's only woke to their broke, right? I mean, they go as only as far as they can, and then but if it touches on their agenda, they can't do that. No, don't go down that road, Jeff. That'd be too much to ask. Brother.
That'd make too much sense, wouldn't it?
It would. Hey, man, I know you're probably on the road a lot these days. Be careful with that snow out there and take care, all right?
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right, Jeff. See you now. That was Jeff from Indiana, one of our regular callers, and proof that we have a show that goes way beyond the AM/FM capabilities here at WVNN, which are good, by the way. We got good ones. So let me do this before I go to the break. So I told you AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she was down there having vacation in the Sunshine State after having just, you know, trashed Florida and Governor DeSantis for the way they handle COVID, because surely it can't be good. You can't have freedom. Well, hotair.com, as of January 1st, is reporting that it was made known that she was there. So Governor DeSantis thought it'd be a little fun, and Governor DeSantis's offices sent out a tweet welcoming her to Florida and saying they hoped she was enjoying some of the freedom offered by Governor DeSantis's policies. That's pretty good. So she decides to fire back at him. Here's where it went south on her. This is a total faceplant. She fires back invoking some debunked claim about DeSantis himself being out on vacation. Truth be told, Governor DeSantis was not on vacation. He was escorting his wife to the hospital for cancer treatments because she's at 41 years old and dealing with breast cancer. And liberals like Joy Reid, and aside from AOC, Jerry Demings, the Democrat mayor of Orange County, and a number of others, started trashing Ron DeSantis about being on vacation, when the reality is he was taking his wife to cancer treatments, because that's what good husbands do. All right, folks, we're going to take a break, come back, and wrap this thing up. You want to call in? I got time for one or two more, 866-494-9866. We're in right now a segment of the Triple Dipper I call What They Said, because it's what they said, and they cannot deny they said it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, 4:55 PM right now, moving into the final moments. Let me just tell you this. Something you might want to know because it has a direct impact on Alabama. All right. So if you may recall, our federal courts, if you appeal from something in a federal district court in Alabama, it goes to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. The 11th Circuit Court of Appeals right now has a left-wing activist that has been nominated by President Joe Biden to be a federal judge on the 11th Circuit. Oh, this would be awful. This left-wing activist, whose name is Nancy Gabana Abadou, has formerly been the deputy legal director at the Southern Poverty Law Center, and prior to that, she was an activist with ties to the American Civil Liberties Union. Good Lord. I mean, could you... It is so obvious. I mean, now granted, President Trump had the opportunity to go out and fill vacancies within the federal bench himself, too. Yes, every president does. Usually you wind up going and looking and finding people like, you know, in our case, conservatives, Amy Coney Barrett. Well, she was a professor of law at Notre Dame who had a great litigation background. And what do? The Biden administration goes and tries to fill an 11th Circuit appellate court position. Wow. With a person who worked for 14 years for the ACLU as a staff attorney, and then after that, to the U.S. District Judge, to a position as a U.S. District Court Judge or Federal Appeals Court Judge after working for the Southern Poverty Law Center. She's got a lot of things on her record, like asserting that 95% of her work, she said, with the ACLU was involved in voting rights, where she opposed things like voter ID and proof of citizenship. Proof of citizenship. She does not believe that citizenship is in any way related to your status as a voter in the United States. And she's being nominated now by Joe Biden to be a appellate court judge in the 11th Circuit, which is, by the way, the 11th Circuit is Alabama, Florida, and Georgia. That's us, y'all. That is us, y'all. The 11th Circuit. Well, other things are happening, not the least of which in this cornucopia of madness that I call What They Said. New York Governor Kathy Hochul, you know, the one that we thought might be better than Andrew Cuomo. Anyway, Governor Kathy Hochul, the governor of the same state that has the big city called New York City that just started putting out needle machines for addicts to get clean needles, just declared racism a public health emergency in her state. She says, for too long, communities of color in New York have been held back by systemic racism and inequitable treatment. I'm proud to sign legislation that addresses this crisis head-on, addressing racism, expanding equity, and improving access for all, you virtue signaler, you. Well, folks, what they said, I didn't even get to all of it. I had closer to over 60 pages worth of materials today. And it's like a nonstop. But folks, I'm just telling you, we're gonna maintain a positive bent here. We're gonna laugh, and we're gonna laugh at them at times, and sometimes we'll laugh at ourselves. But the reality is, when you listen to this show, I want you to be aware and alert. I want you to be cognizant of the times that you're living in, and have an idea of what you can do in the middle of it. And like I said in my earlier monologue, it's not enough to just complain. We got to get active, folks. Because these are the people that are coming for our stuff. These are the people coming for our lives. These are the ones that want our country. They want to run it into the ground. Not on my watch. All you right side ruffians, I'd say you're feeling the same way. 2022, not going to let it happen. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Copper and I back here tomorrow at 2. You got the great one, Mark Levin, coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow.